Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 27 at 16,016. S&P 500 up 1 at 1,881. NASDAQ Composite down 11 at 44.76. Yield on the 10-year Treasury unchanged at 2.04%. Oil down $1.13 at $28.29 per barrel. Gold down $1.30 at $1,088.50 per ounce. Now, just a reminder that last Friday saw the Dow drop 390, the S&P also down 41, taking out the August lows of 1867 with an intraday low of 1857. Now, this morning, Wall Street started the session with a bounce, but it didn't hold. In the afternoon, the major averages turned negative. The S&P went back down to test support at 1865. So we're seeing an important level of support at that range of 1857 to 1867 on the S&P. We told you on Friday that would need to see confirmation in the form of a close below 1867. It did not happen today. The NASDAQ Composite did close below the September low of 44.87. Dow Industrials are still above the August lows of 15,666. You don't even want to look at the charts of the Russell 2000 Index or the Dow Transports. They're just, you know, they're just ugly. And then if you move away from Wall Street, the economy doesn't look too bad. 70 consecutive months of job growth, the unemployment rate at 5%, GDP growth probably around 2 to 2.5%. Not great, but compared to the rest of the world, it looks decent. Oil prices falling, which should be a big positive for the largest consumer of energy in the world. Then back on Wall Street, everything we know about everything is reflected in price. And prices have been shocked. Eventually, prices will drag down the broader economy, or the broader economy will lift prices. Right now, it's a tug of war. In time, we'll see which side carries the most weight. Global markets were mainly higher, including Japan, most of Europe, the UK. Shanghai Composite gained 3.2% today. China's economy grew at its weakest pace in a quarter of a century last year. Growth for 2015 as a whole hit 6.9%. After the fourth quarter slowed to 6.8% growth, there was relief in the markets, however, that growth at least matched forecast and a growing expectation that the People's Bank of China would provide further stimulus. China's slowdown, along with the slump in commodity prices, prompted the International Monetary Fund to cut its global growth forecast again today. And it said it expected the world's second-largest economy to see growth of only 6.3% in 2016. The IMF expects the global economy to grow at 3.4% for 2016, 3.6% for 2017. The numbers for both years are 0.2 percentage points less than what IMF had estimated in October. The International Energy Agency says unseasonably warm weather and rising supply will keep the crude oil market oversupplied at least until late 2016. The IEA left its estimate of growth in global demand for 2016 unchanged from its previous monthly report of about 1.2 million barrels per day. The U.S. and other major powers have removed sanctions on Iran's exports after the previously isolated Islamic Republic complied with a nuclear deal. According to Reuters, the sanctions removed about 2 million barrels per day of production, dropping Iran's output to just more than a million barrels a day. On Monday, Iran issued an order to increase its production by 500,000 barrels per day. I've talked with you about the idea that oil in the ground might be worth less at some point in the future. It happened much faster than I imagined. Bloomberg reports Flint Hills Resources LLC, the refining arm of billionaire brothers Charles and David Koch's industrial empire, said it offered to pay $1.50 a barrel Friday for North Dakota sour. Now that's a high sulfur grade of crude. It had previously posted a price of negative 50 cents for a barrel. This is for a low quality of crude that is expensive to refine, and it comes from an area where it is expensive to transport. But still, this sends a pretty clear message to oil producers to, well, just shut down their wells, or at least some of them. Producers outside the U.S. also feeling pain. The price for Canadian bitumen, the thick tar-like oil at the center of the debate over the Keystone XL pipeline, fell to $8.35 last week. That's down from as much as $80 a barrel less than 2 years ago. Puerto Rico is running out of money faster than expected, leaving an increasing hole in the amount needed to operate and pay back investors. According to an updated fiscal plan, the island now estimates it is $16 billion short of the money that it needs to cover debt payments over the next 5 years, a 15% bigger figure than the one released in September. And the gap over 10 years, well, that's almost $24 billion, even with planned fiscal adjustments. Earnings reporting season this week will feature a bunch of the big tech names, including Verizon, SAP, and Apple. Netflix and IBM reported after the closing bell today. Netflix posted fourth quarter adjusted earnings of 7 cents per share, down from 10 cents a share than the previous year, but they still beat analyst estimates of 2 cents. Revenue, $1.8 billion compared to $1.4 billion a year ago. Netflix added 5.5 million total net subscribers in the quarter, up from 4.3 million additions in the previous year, beating expectations. Netflix has been popular, up 124% over the past year, and today up $3.85, then in after hours gaining about $7.36 at $107.89. IBM reported fourth quarter earnings of $4.84 a share on $22.06 billion in revenue, topping estimates for profit and revenue, even though earnings were down 17% from the year earlier period. IBM's cloud, analytics, mobile, social, and security businesses grew 26% to $29 billion in 2015. Those units now represent 35% of IBM's total revenue. IBM down $1.92, then down another 91 cents in after-hours trade at $127.20. Earlier in the day, United Health reported earnings of $1.22 billion in the final 3 months of the year, down from $1.5 billion in the previous year's quarter. Earnings totaled $1.40 per share, topping estimates by 3 cents. Total revenue up 30% to $43.6 billion, also beating estimates. United Health is struggling to make money on the ACA health exchanges, but they're making up for it with their Optum division, where earnings jumped 50% in the quarter. Optum runs the company's pharmacy benefits management business. United Health up 3% today. Johnson & Johnson planning to cut about 4-6% of its global workforce in its medical devices business over the next 2 years, part of a restructuring that aims to save $800 million to $1 billion by the end of 2018. Johnson & Johnson gained 50 cents at $97.50. Although they say they expect tougher market conditions in 2016, Unilever reported fourth quarter sales that beat estimates, with higher prices for its goods in Latin America, revenue up 4.9%, while core operating profit increased 12%, Unilever up 3.9%. Morgan Stanley posted earnings of $908 million, or 39 cents per share, compared with a loss of $1.6 billion, or 91 cents per share, in the year earlier period that included a $2.6 billion settlement over the sale of mortgage bonds. Profit and revenue beat estimates. Morgan Stanley previously announced big cuts to their fixed income business. Today they announced the cuts will be even deeper. Morgan Stanley up 1.1%. Bank of America said its fourth quarter profit rose to $3.3 billion, or 28 cents per share. Revenue rose to $19.5 billion. Profit and revenue beat estimates. Bank of America said its provision for credit losses in global banking increased by $264 million for the quarter ended December 31st, and that was mainly due to higher energy-related charge-offs and reserve increases for energy exposure. The bank has $21.3 billion in energy-related loans, but that represents about 2% of total loans. Bank of America down 1.5% today. Already troubled by lawsuits and an official investigation, Deutsche Bank is facing another challenge. It's about to be sued in British court for using high-speed trading software. That lawsuit asserts the lender used a platform known as Autobahn to take advantage of millisecond changes in exchange rates to give clients worse prices than they were entitled to. Deutsche Bank has denied the claims. WhatsApp scrapping its subscription fee. They'll explore other ways to allow businesses to interact with its users, but they say they will not introduce third-party ads to make up for the lost revenue. The Facebook-owned app had previously charged an annual renewal fee of 99 cents for all users after their first year. I guess that was just too much. For the third time in roughly a year, Elon Musk SpaceX on Sunday failed to successfully land the main part of a spent rocket on a floating ocean platform. They came pretty close, though. The booster maneuvered back to its destination as intended, touched down a little harder than planned, causing it to tip over and explode. French car maker Renault will recall more than 15,000 vehicles to tweak their engines to ensure that they comply with emission standards. The company committed to the recall after it was found that the filtration system in some of its vehicles did not comply with emission standards under real-world conditions. The world's political and business leaders, plus the usual smattering of celebrities, heading to Davos, the Swiss Alpine resort where the World Economic Forum's annual conference begins this evening. The official theme of the 2016 meeting is Mastering the Fourth Industrial Revolution. In WEF speak, that means the fusion of technologies that is blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological spheres, which raises the question, has anything worthwhile and meaningful ever come out of the World Economic Forum in Davos? Glenn Frey, the prolific guitarist, singer, songwriter, and founding member of the Eagles, died yesterday at age 67. Frey and Don Henley co-founded the Eagles in 1971 in Los Angeles after playing backup for rock singer Linda Ronstadt. The Eagles' album, Their Greatest Hits, 1971 to 1975, is the second best-selling record of all time in the United States. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com, text, audio, interviews, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.